one of the things that the Torah doesn't tell us, there are hints, but it doesn't tell us, is anything about Avraham prior to Lech Lecha. There's a little bit of biographical information, but if you think about it for a second, God comes and says to Avram, Yomer Shem el Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzich me'laduch me'beit avicha, el ha'artz ha'sha'reka, v'eschol ha'gai gadol, I'm going to make you into a great nation, v'arverchecha, you're going to be blessed, v'agadlo shemecha, your name's going to become renowned, v'heye bracha, you're going to be a source of blessing, v'avercha me'vercha, who blesses you will be blessed, curses you will be cursed, and so on, and you'll be a source of blessing for all the peoples of the land. Now, all that sounds very, very good, but when you compare this with Noach, we have a different introduction. What's the introduction by Noach? It says that Noach, ish tzaddik, Noach was tamim haya b'dorotav, et elokim et alech Noach, which means in that one pasuk, we learn all kinds of things about Noach, why Noach is deserving of God to come and say, okay, everybody else is bad, you're good. Why? Because it says Noach is tzaddik. It says Noach is tamim haya b'dorotav. It says that Noach, et elokim et alech Noach. When it comes to Avram, there's absolutely no justification whatsoever for what comes beforehand. So that itself is something which is interesting. The other thing which is interesting is when you think about what God does say to him here, there are certain, they're very nice blessings. All of us would like blessings like this. But when we compare these blessings with the other blessings which Avram is eventually going to get, there is two things which are missing over here. And they're actually two crucial things. And what are they? I know it's always hard to say what's not here. Right, we're all trained to interpret what it says. Now, we're not trained to interpret what it doesn't say, which is why what it doesn't say is always more interesting. Yes, what doesn't it say? What? Exactly. Number two. It doesn't exactly say children. What does it say? That I'll make you into a great nation. You can be a great nation without necessarily having any of your own biological children. On the other hand, it doesn't say anything about the land of Israel, so that really just jumped out at us as far as what exactly is the nature of this relationship and therefore the nature of this blessing over here. So I want to ask a question, and we'll see how trained you are right now when you attempt to answer this question. How old was Avraham when God spoke to him and said to him, Lech Lecha? Let's pick on them first. How old was he? Yes? Excellent. And how do you know that? Rashi? Pasuk? No, that was just meant to intimidate you. So you're going to say, yeah, the Pasuk says it. So the Pasuk says it? You sure? Right. Right. So it says right after, Vayelech Avram, Kasher Diber Lav Hashem, Vayelech ito Lot, so now we're going to start our Lot question. Vayelech ito Lot, Lot goes with him. Va'avram ben chamesh shanim v'shivim shana b'tzeitot mi'charan, and Avram is 75 years old when he leaves Haran. The next pasuk sounds a little strange because it says v'yikach Avram et sarai ishto v'et Lot ben achiv v'et korach l'sham v'et asher rachashu v'et nefesh ashasu b'charan v'yitzu lechet aretz ha'kanan v'yu atzer kanan. So now all this is very strange. What was strange? It already said. Well, actually, what did it say about Lot? No. Okay, so there's two things it says about Lot. There's Pasuk Dalet and there's Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Dalet, it says, Vayelech Avram kasher dibar ilav Hashem, Vayelech ito Lot. So, was Lot invited to join, or Lot joined on himself, by himself?
No, he joined himself.
And the next Pasuk says, V'yikachav mitzarai ishto v'et Lot ben achiv. By the way, what was the relationship, at least according to Rashi, between Lot and Sarah? Brother and sister, good. Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes or no? You're all looking at me with shock. Yes or no? No, 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 impossible. So why is it impossible? It's only impossible for one reason, and that is because no one ever said it to you before. So just because no one ever said it doesn't mean that it's not possible. You're bothering me now. Just stop. You're bothering me. It says over here, V'yikach Avram v'nachor lehem nashim. Sorry, we'll go a pasuk before that. V'elo toldo terach. Terach olid et Avram et nachor v'taran. Okay? If you can count to three, you'll still be okay over here. Who are the three? Who are the three? Good. What's special about Nachor? What's unique about Nachor? What? Right. He's the only one in Tanakh till this point, only one Chumash till this point, who names his son after his father. Okay? So that's certainly a level of uniqueness. It says again, V'eil tol terech terech lid Avram Nacharit v'et Haran, v'Haran hol lid et Lot. So who's Lot's father? This is not a trick question. Who's Lot's father? Haran. Excellent. Good. V'yamat Haran al pnei terech aviv, v'eretz matov b'ur kazdim. V'yikach Avram v'nochor lehem nashim, shem eshet Avram sarai, v'shem eshet nochor milka bat Haran, avi milka v'avi Yiska. What does Rashi say about Yiska? The Yiska is Sarah. Who's Sarah, who is Sarah's father? Haran. Who's Lot's father? Is there any, I don't know, you ever learn Yavamos? I don't know, do I have to?
Is this not about Haran?
Yiska Batar, and Rashi over here says Yiska, Yiska Zu Sara. So Sara's father's name is Haran. Lot's father's name is Haran. So therefore the relationship between Sara and Lot is? Okay, was that all that complicated? Who said impossible before? So then I'm saying the only thing which is interesting is nobody ever said those words to you, so you say, oh no, that's not true. Okay. But does it say it? One second, did I misread something just now? Yes or no? The Chumash is wrong. Okay, fine.
Take it out.
So I'll say it again. By the way, does that make the whole relationship with Lot more interesting than it was beforehand? It just now became more interesting. Because not only is he your nephew, he's now also your brother-in-law. And you also notice something interesting. When Lot and Avram separate, he calls him a brother. So... okay, that makes a little more sense. What else is interesting? Sarah doesn't say anything. Sarah doesn't protest. How can you send him away? It's my brother. What's he going to... Okay, she's completely quiet. Now, what's the famous question that people ask, which people think is a very big question? They don't like the order of what it says in Lech Lecha. Because it says, Me'artzecho mi'latecho mi'beit avicha. So what should the sequence be? Obviously, the sequence should be that first you leave your father's house, right? Geographically, you leave your father's house, you leave your, yeah? You leave your place that you're born, which is like your local town, and you leave your country. So over here it says the other way around, so that's a little strange. Let's hold on to that. Let me ask another question. I'm on a roll now. Let's ask another question. The other question is, does God tell him where he's supposed to be going to? How does he describe it as? Okay. So he's going to show him something. From this point on, which direction does Avram travel, more or less? He keeps going south, keeps going south, and so on. Now, all of you know that Avram endured 10 tests, correct? There are 10 tests. Is there any consensus what those 10 tests were? No, absolutely not. We have no idea what the 10 tests are. But they say this is one of the tests that he leaves. Good, this is one of the tests. It says the language of test only in one place. By which test does it say it? But the Akedah. Does the Akedah have anything to do with this right now, with this narrative? Do the two narratives have anything in common? You're shaking your heads, no. There's actually two words which may lead you to say, well, maybe this is a little bit similar. Over here, what phrase is used in the beginning of Lech Lecha? It uses the word Lech Lecha. It says, Lech Lecha, go, like maybe for your own benefit, and it says at the place, Ha'eretz Asher Ar'eka. If you compare this to the Akedah in Perek Kaf Bet, there it says, "Vayachadru me'ela v'lokim nisa et Avraham v'yomelav Avraham v'yomer hineni." So he tests him. This is the only place again that he uses the word test. V'yomer kachloch b'bincha yichid chasher hafti itzchav v'lech lecha. Oh, look at that! We just stuck that in. It wasn't there before. You notice the words lech lecha is the same words here. So when I ask you, are there any words which are similar? Why don't you answer that? Okay. In one place, the place that I'm going to show you, in the other place, the place that I'm going to tell you, not all the information is given. Go on a mission in both places. Now, here's what's interesting. Over here, in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Vayeshkem Avram baboker. And Avram gets up and goes right away. Early next morning he gets up. What did it say by our Lech Lecha? Remember the question that I asked you that you gave me the wrong answer to? What was the question that I asked and what was the wrong answer you gave? I said, how old was Avraham? What was my question? What was my question? How old was Avraham when God spoke to him and said, Lech Lecha? And what did you answer me instead? You said 75. And you said, I know, because it says he was 75 when he left. Anybody see the question I'm about to ask you now? Okay, how much time went between when God said Lech Lecha to between when Avram actually left? 1 second. Does that sound like a good question, or that's a terrible question? And now why is it a good question? Because when you compare the two narratives, and the other time it says Lech Lecha, what does it say? Vayeshkem Avram baboker. It means, when was the implementation? He gets up early in the morning. What is lacking from this Lech Lecha? Which words are lacking? You can say it now. Vayeshkem, you're shaking your head at me. Okay, just one more second, and then you'll get equal time. What's lacking over here? Vayeshkem Avram baboker. Go ahead, what's your name? Go.
When it says Lech Lecha, you imply that means go now, right? And then it says later on, when it says that Avram left, he listened as his cousin said, right? So then it implies that he listened to exactly what he wanted to do.
Implies. Does it say? Implies. So then, implies. Does he say it?
It would mean to say that he left right afterwards.
Okay.
So I don't know why.
Let me ask you. You don't know why? You know exactly why. Let me ask you a different question. How old was Avraham when God spoke to him the first time? This could be the answer. Okay, 1 second. Does that sound like a fair question? Does this make any difference? Yeah, it makes a real big difference because, again, how did we start all this? Noach is a tzaddik. Why is it tzaddik? Well, I don't actually know why he's a tzaddik. But Noach is a tzaddik because he doesn't do anything wrong. What does everybody else do? Everybody else rapes and pillages and says it's really bad things. Noach doesn't rape and pillage. Based on this definition, how many tzaddikim are here right now in this room?
A lot.
Okay, you're old tzaddikim based upon the Noach analysis, you're old tzaddikim. But you all know it's tamim haya bidorasav, right? In his generation, he was perfect. Why? Because everyone else's generation were a bunch of losers. Which, by the way, your generation has many losers as well. So this could also make you tzaddikim. Okay, so let's come back. Yes or no? Yes. So now let's come back and let's think a little bit more. When it comes to Avraham, we have a missing 75 years. It's true that there is a rabbinic teaching that says when he's already 3 years old, he recognizes that there is a God. There's a Rambam that uses another age that at the age of 40, he starts. I don't know where the Rambam got that from. Whenever you don't know where the Rambam got it from, it means presumably he had some other midrashic material that we don't necessarily have today. The other material that exists is in the Seder Olam and then a whole bunch of other midrashim that indicate that Avraham was 48 years old when something very significant happened. So really the dates are 3 years old, maybe 40 years old, 48 years old. There's one more date that I'm skipping right now. But so far from what we know is that 75 years old, God says go, or maybe, that's according to you, that 75 years old, God says go, and we would imagine the next morning, even though we can make a difference. When he says go and do a karban, okay, he's a mitzvah right now to go and do a karban. When he says to leave, so, I don't know, any of you guys ever made aliyah? You got to sell your house, you got to this. It takes the average American Jewish couple 25 years or so to get all this ready. And half of them, if they live in Tinek, they think they already made Aliyah, which is a lach of Tinek Shenishba. So it's literally. So, okay, so they're stuck, Tinek Shenishba. So it could be that to go and move and sell and this and that, maybe our expectations are wrong, despite you're saying, no, we did it like God said. But even like God said, did God say you got to pick up and move immediately? Although you can counter and say, hold it a second, just calm down a little bit. What are you talking about? You got a tent, you pull the peg out of the ground, and the other peg out of the ground, and the other peg out of the ground, and you pick up your tent, and you walk as long as you can, and then you put the pegs in the ground again. So, meaning, Maybe it isn't all that complicated. So I'm just raising that as a question. The only thing that we know as of this point is, at the age of three, something happened. Avram has some kind of an epiphany, and he realizes that whatever he's been brought up with is not necessarily correct. The Midrashim are very interesting, because the Midrashim talk about Avraham looking very much at nature, analyzing nature. There's a famous Midrash that he sees a place on fire, and he starts asking, how did this happen? Where did this come from? What's going on? Which is going back, as far as I can tell, to a type of a first cause argument. You have a similar thing when he has the various people who come into his, when he's mining his father's store. You have first the man who comes in and says, I'd like to buy an idol, nice idol, good idol, very effective idol. And Avram says, how old are you? And the guy says, X amount, 50, maybe, I think different gear, so 50 or 60 years old. How old are you? He goes, my father made this idol yesterday, which essentially saying, how could this idol solve all of your problems? Which means, again, the reason she left you is not because of you didn't have this idol. I mean, the reason that your business closed down is not because my father made this yesterday. This is not going to be the solution to your problems. And it says the guy leaves totally embarrassed. It says a woman comes in, and Avram, how do you know he's a Balmidos? Because he didn't ask her how old she was. She comes in, it says, it's very interesting to analyze that medrash and the lack of symmetry between the way he treats the male versus the female clientele. He asks her, she comes in with food. She wants to serve. She wants to give the idol something to eat, takes it, she leaves, and then what does he do? You all know the story, you learned this when you were around three, right? He smashes all the idols. The fancy way of saying this is that Avram is an iconoclast. What does an iconoclast mean? An idol smasher, right. So Avram, antediluvian, you only get to use once a year. Iconoclast, you get to use once a year, so that was it. So Avram then smashes all of the idols, and his father comes in. What does his father say when he comes in? He says, oh my gods. Okay, just kidding. I'm sorry. It's like really bad in Rabbi's attempt at humor, so I should apologize beforehand even. So he comes in, and he sees all of these broken. And you know what's sad? Some of them are going to try to use that now. Okay, he sees... All of these broken idols on the floor. So again, I'm saying you all know the Midrash. And he says, okay, his father comes, what happened? So he says, it was unbelievable. He goes, somebody came in and gave food, and the big idol wanted it, and the little idol comes jumping across the room and hits the big idol in the head, and the little one, he punches him, and the other one gets involved, and all these idols are fighting, and they smashed one another, and that's why they were broken. And his father basically says to him, son, I don't know what you've been smoking. Or the incense with the idols, right? Okay, it could be the incense. He says, I don't know what's going on over here, but idols are inanimate objects and they can't do this. To which Avraham then respectfully says to his father, what does he say? Do your ears hear what your mouth is saying? So Avraham basically tries to display to his father that this just doesn't work this way. The continuation of the Midrash is that his father takes him to Nimrod. Okay, and that's very interesting and that's very important. He takes him to Nimrod, and Nimrod says to him, let's worship the fire. And Avram says, well, rain can extinguish fire, so maybe we should worship rain. He goes, worship rain. He goes, well, but the rain is in the clouds. Let's worship the clouds. He goes, but the wind can blow the clouds. Let's worship the wind. He says, but human beings can stand still when the wind blows. And Nimrod says, you're just playing. Let's go back to the fire, and takes him and throws him into the fire. Now, that's the Midrash, but that's so interesting because he keeps... Again, I see a first cause type of argument over here, that this is stronger than this, because this comes to this, because this comes to this, and he keeps trying to go backwards in order to get to some type of beginning. When he sees the place which is burning, he sees the house, who built this house? Where did that fire come from? What is the cause? What is the source of energy? You see Avram asking, at least according to the Midrash, sophisticated philosophical questions in order to see origin of things. The reason I think this is interesting is if I go back to Avram's brother. Avram's brother is named after his grandfather, which means that our old idolater Terach had something in him. I mean, there's actually two things about Terach which are interesting. One is that he names his son after his own father, and I'll come back to that in a second. What's the other thing interesting about him? Is that he left his home and he's going to the direction of the land of which land? Right, the very end of last week's parasha says. Vayikach Terach et Avram beno et Lot ben Haran ben beno et Sarai kalato eshet Avram beno v'yitzui tami urkas dim lechet aretz Kanan v'yavo ad Haran v'yishvu sham. So who is it that takes him out of the place that he was born? By the way, it's very interesting. What's the whole problem people point about the sequence? It should have said that first you leave your father's house and then you leave your land. But he left his homeland, and he's still in his father's house. Don't bother me, the Ramban. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's still in his father's house. I'll tell you another secret. I strongly suspect that he doesn't completely leave his father's house, right? What's the phrase which is used? Beit Avicha. I think he's still in Beit Avicha, or still part of Beit Avicha, as long as Lod is still there. I think Lod is the last remnant of Beit Aviv. And he takes him for... it's interesting, I can't say it again. Lot just joins, and then he takes him. It sounds that Lot doesn't want to leave. Finally, Lot leaves. Lot may very well be part of his father's house. But as I said, if you realize that it says over here that they left Ur Kasdim, they're now in Haran. That means he left his birthplace, assuming that's where he's born. There is this whole intrigue with where he's born. It sounds like he left his birthplace. He is now in Haran, so therefore that's why the sequence does make more sense than we would have thought it made before. Okay. Now, we said that he kept going south, and he keeps going south, and then he ends up in Egypt. And then people get all upset with him, especially the Ramban. The Ramban was a Zionist. Most of the commentaries aren't, so it's okay. He's so upset. Okay, it's a terrible sin. He's punished. How was Avram supposed to know how far south he was allowed to go? He keeps going south. He keeps going further and further south. Why would he assume that he had gone too far south? Why was this wrong?
When he stopped at certain points, Hashem told him, this is the land. So why do you even bother moving at that point?
Maybe he told him that.
Okay,
it's
good.
The land. It's before you got to Egypt. Right?
Does it?
No. Vayavur, it says over here they go. Vayatzu lechet arza Kanaan, which again is interesting, because Avram seems to have the same sense of his father that the place to be going is arza Kanaan. It says vayavur vam ba'aretz ad makom Shechem ad elon Moreh v'Kanaani az ba'aretz v'yar Hashem el Avram v'yom lezarecha atena to aretz azot. So which aretz? What are the boundaries? What are the borders? What does he do right afterwards? Vayetake misham haru mikedin leveitel. Further south, v'yivin sham izbeach l'Hashem v'kor b'shem Hashem. By the way, God doesn't respond. V'yisa Avram halach v'nosar negba. He continues to go further south. Then we're told there's a rav, there's a famine, and he goes further south. So I'm just asking, this is not a big question, I'm just asking, why are we assuming that he did something wrong because he went further south? Yes, we know today where the borders are, that's Egypt, you shouldn't have gone to Egypt. Listen, let me give you a hint. I wouldn't ask a question like that unless I had an answer. Right? Right. Okay. So, let me go back. Let me go back to... How many questions do we have open right now? Okay. You can go over them. I don't remember them. How old was Avraham when God said to him, Lech Lecha? We don't know this. How old was Avraham when God spoke to him the first time? We don't necessarily know this. What else don't we know? We don't know whole introduction of time, right? Yeah? How much time elapses? So all these are questions. And I do want to stress something, that there is a type of a rabbinic biography which when... certain people would call an art scroll biography, and although art scroll is not the only ones who are guilty, there are others guilty. And I happen to like art scroll. I'll tell you why afterwards. I can't say why now. I happen to like art scroll, and I think they do a very good job in certain works. I mean, I also respect them because they won't publish any of my books because I actually say what I think. I did have something, an article I once wrote that was published, and one of the people there emailed me, says, no, we have to censor this part out. So I said, wonderful, I'm so happy, because now I can say I was censored by Art Squirrel, so I feel much better about it. So, the Art Squirrel biography is that he was born at Tzaddik, his father was at Tzaddik, his mother was at Tzaddik, his father had a long beard, his mother had a long beard, everybody was very holy, he was so holy, he came out of the womb, he was holy, his mother would nurse him, he would cover her up, and he would make a bracha beforehand. I mean, you would... I've seen that written. Yes. Yes. Yes, I've seen that written.
How old is the
It's a fair question, but I've seen that written. I could tell you about who, but certain things are better left unsaid. But again, they're very holy from birth. And I could put Avram in the same thing. Avram was born, he was holy, 3 years old, everything. On the other hand, maybe there are some struggles along the way. You know, there is a Gemara. I'm going to say something which is frightening, and I don't really mean it, okay? I don't mean it. You don't have to argue with me. You don't have to throw anything at me. You ready? There is a Gemara that says that Avraham worshipped every single idolatry. Ever hear of that Gemara? He explored every single idolatry that there was. Now, that indicates that there's a process that goes on till Avraham, which is at the age of 3, he realizes something is amiss, but till he gets there. Now, one of the idolatries which existed in those days was Moloch. So therefore, is it possible? You heard those words? Is it possible? Once I say, is it possible, the answer is yes, but you're not going to like this. Is it possible that when God tells him to do the Akkad, it's not the first time he's killed one of his kids? I'm saying, isn't that a crazy thought? One second, isn't that a frightening thought? Avram's like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this again. This is so messy. This is, no, messy emotionally. I'm not even talking about it. I'm saying, when the Gemara tells you that he did all kinds of idolatry, it opens up to this thing as well. But yet, Avram, you know, is a tzaddik from the very beginning. But if he goes through a process, there's something very important for us as well, that Avram becomes Avraham. And by the way, I can say that with all the confidence in the world, he wasn't born Avraham, right? He was born Avram, which means that there is a process over here. There is a change. At some point, he becomes a Baal Teshuva and has a Bris Mila at a much, much older age. No, I'm being very serious about that, is that there is a process which goes on, and that's something which all the information is, you know, in front of us, but sometimes we're a little afraid to say it. Now, when we move over to Perek Tedvav, Perek Tedvav is the Brit Bein Abiturim. Achad Rima Eile, so Achad Rima Eile should be right after the four kings and the five kings, right? Achad Rima Eile, Hayodvar Hashem al Avram b'machazeh le'mor, God comes in a vision, al tira, don't be afraid. Avram comes back and says, yeah, but I don't have any kids. So God says to him, right, only thing I have is Eliezer. Okay, Lot is long forgotten already. Because Lot should have been a candidate. Yes or no? Lot should have been the heir apparent. Lot should have been the one who's going to inherit, especially when you realize how close of a family relationship it is. But it's interesting. Vayoma Avram, Hashem Elokim Mati Tainli, Vanochi Olei Chariri, Uven Meshik Beiti Hudemesik Eliezer. Eliezer is the only one who's going to take over. And again, I can ask the question, is Avram talking about who's going to inherit all the cattle, or is Avram talking who's going to take over this group that I have, the Nefesh HaShasub B'Charan, this religious movement that has begun? Which one is Avram concerned with? And again, we can leave that open as a question. Vayom Avram, Hinlo Natata Zara, I don't have any children. Vinim Beiti, Ereshoti, the one who's going to inherit, will be Eliezer. V'nedra Hashem Eilov Leimor, Lo Yirash Zek, Ki Ima Sheyitzei Mimeacha, Hu Yirashecha. V'yotzi Tal Chutz, he takes him outside now, it's when he looks up at the star. Vayom HaBeit Na Shemayim, Usfara Kochavim, Im Tuchal Lesporotam, Vayom Alok, that he believes, and there's machloket who thought it was charitable. Apparently, Avram thinks he's undeserving, and he thinks God wonderful. Vayomer elav, and God says to him, which is a very interesting time to have an introduction. Vayomer elav ani Hashem, right? Asher hotziticha meur kazdim l'teit lecha ta'aretz hazot l'rishta. So here we have both children and land together. Again, the two things which were missing by the beginning of Lech Lecha. It's also very important that he says, I took you out of Ur Kasdim. What is Ur Kasdim? So either it's a place, or Ur Kasdim is the furnace. I'm the one, you know, we have the Midrash about the furnace. There are those who say, no, this is Pshat. I'm the one who saved you, Me'ur Kasdim. Now, why is this interesting when God says, I took you out of Ur Kasdim? What did it say at the end of Noach? It says that Terech is the one who took him out, which may just now gave us insight. V'yikach Terech de'avaram benovet lo ben haram ben benovet etzarei kalato eshet avaram benovet etzui tami Ur Kasdim. So who took him out of Ur Kasdim? So again, does Ur Kasdim over here mean I took you out of the furnace? Does it mean I took you out of this place, Ur Kasdim? And you can go either way that you want. But it could be, that's what I'm saying, it could be that there's a remez here. By the way, theory of conservation of matter. When did we have a furnace mentioned in the Chumash till now? When they were making the bricks in order to make the tower. That's the only furnace that we have. According to the Seder Olam, Avram was 48 years old when they were making the tower. According to the Midrash, Noach is there, and Noach, 48. That's the 48 years old. The 48 years old is when they were making the tower. Avraham protests against the building of the tower. By the way, Noach is there. According to Seder Olam, Noach dies 5 years old later. Sorry, 10 years later. How old is Avraham when Noach dies? 58. How do you say that in Gematria? Noach. Avraham is Noach when Noach dies. Right, one tzaddik leaves, the other tzaddik now takes his place. Avram now replaces Noach. But it's very interesting that Rashi told us in the beginning of last week's parsha, Yesh Marasena Darshan L'Shevach, Yesh Darshan L'Gnai. Right? Some say, had he been in a better generation, Noach would have been greater. And some say, had he been in Avram's generation, Lo Yanech Shev L'Kulum, he would have been worthless. Well, look at that. He was in his generation. He was there at the tower. He was there when Avraham protests, and Noach has nothing to say, and Avraham gets thrown into the furnace, which means the idea that Avraham gets thrown in, who threw him in? Nimrod. Who was the one who was behind building the tower? Nimrod. Who's the one building the city there? Nimrod. Which means all of those midrashim talking about Avraham, which again, we all learned this as kids, and we learned it separated from any of the biblical narrative. And the Midrashim over here are looking at the Psukim. They're looking over here, I took you out of Ur Kasdim. Which again, is very interesting because I can easily now read this Pasuk. God says, I took you out, but I thought Terech took him out. So what's the answer? God subcontracted. What do you mean he subcontracted? He put the idea in Terech's head. It's okay, time to leave. God said, I did this. I took you out. Can you give me a hard time again?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Many times in this parsha, we have many places that not their name, but rather it's like something happened there in history. So when they could be orchestrated, could totally be two different things. Like Terach took him out of the physical place of orchestrated years before, and that orchestrated, the reason they called it orchestrated was because the fact that was there was the furnace.
Correct.
What does orchestrated mean? How does it mean furnace?
Or is fire. Is the fire in Kasdim? So Ur Kasdim, the one who saved you from the furnace. See, part of the problem is where Avraham was actually born, right? Because you were giving me a hard time with the Ramban there. When Avraham sends his Eved and he says, "Go back to what is? Where does he tell him to go?" Vayoma Avraham el Avdo Zaken Beito. By the way, it never says Eliezer over here. Hamosha b'chol asher lo, simnil chatach u'divchiv, right, and so on. Lo tikach isha levni b'benot hakna'ani asher nochi yoshev b'kirbo. Ki el artzi ve'el moladati teilech. Again, when did we hear God talking about where you're from and Eretz Molad? So over here, Avram makes reference to the same places. There, bring a wife. Then he says something interesting. Vayom elav Avraham, right, don't bring, right. Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Asher Lakachani MiBeit Avi Umi Eretz Molatati Vasher Diberli. God who took me out. So hold it. Which one is it? So obviously Avraham has internalized what God said to him that I took you out, and he sees Terach as being a pawn over you. I'm just saying that it's so interesting when you can get a biblical character saying pshat in another parsha. So over here, Avram is saying pshat. Just follow the through again. Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Asher Lakachani MiBeit Avi Umi Eretz Molatati Vasher Diberli. So you notice in these couple of verses you have Beit Avi, Artzi, Molatati. Right, all the elements that we have at the beginning of Lech Lecha are standing right over here in this little place. But he says Hashem Nishbali Lemar, and God swore to me saying Lazaracha Atena Taaretz Hazot. So when exactly did he say that? When exactly does God say to Avram that I'm going to give you this? Now, hold on a second. Let me go back to the Brit Bein Abtarim, because we're going to now see something which I think is interesting. We then have Avraham saying, you know, how do I know? And now he brings all the offerings and so on. Then, Pasuk Yud Bet, something happens. V'yia shemesh lavo v'tardema nafla al Avram. The sun sets, and Avram falls into a deep sleep. Now, as difficult as this is what I'm about to say, there's two possibilities. This is a continuation of what we were just now reading, or this is a completely independent vision that Avram has. Do you hear there's two possibilities? You can tell me you think one is far more likely than the other. I'm fine with that. I'm just going to say it again, that there's two possibilities over here, and you're going to see very quickly why I'm saying there's two possibilities. Over here, it's because, again, God is already speaking. What do I need this? You know, he fell asleep. When's the last time we have somebody fall asleep? What? Who else fell asleep? Well, Lot didn't fall asleep yet, so that's okay. Noah fell asleep. Yeah, that didn't work out well. Adam, right? Adam, it's the same. Right? Adam falls asleep, and next thing you know, he's missing a rib, which is why men like ribs so much. Like, it's searching for something which is missing. Nothing romantic. They just like ribs. Okay. V'tardema nafla al Avram. Okay, I want you to listen to this pasuk carefully. Right? Because it could be we never understood this pasuk. This is Perek Tadvav, pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer la'avram, yodea teda ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem, va'avadum vinu otam, arba mot shana. What did God say to him? Okay, what are the 400 years go on? Do the 400 years go on the Ger Yezarecha, the Avadum, or V'inu Otam? How do you know? Because again? No, I'm telling you first diktuk. Don't be so fancy now. In terms of diktuk, how does it go? Everything else is before the Etnachta. V'yom alav yodatia tedaki Ger Yezarecha be'eretz lelahem v'avadum v'inu Otam. Nachta is thereby. And then Arbamot Shana. Because the Arbamot Shana becomes after that Nachta, it goes back on the beginning of the Pasuk. Did that make sense to anybody or no? That actually, what I just now said, is correct. So you're also correct. But the Arbamot Shana, therefore, goes back to Eretz Lelahem. Now, what's the problem with Arbamot Shana? When the Jews leave Egypt, Perek Yud Bet and Shmot, it says, Umoshav b'nei Yisrael al-yashvu b'mitzrayim, shloshim shana, they were there all together for 430 years. The end of 430 years, the Jews leave. Now, this is a little bit of a problem. God said 400 years. I know in all of our minds it goes down to 210, right? Hashem chishev itakeitz took off 190, right? But over here, anybody who lives in Israel has no problem with this because this is called ribit v'hatzmada, right? You don't even know what that means. You owe a certain amount of money. You don't pay it. Next thing you know, you have to pay interest, and it's called hatsmada. But how do you get from 400 to 430? That's a problem. What does Rashi say?
How about from Brisbane and Sarah?
Good.
It was 30 years until he left birth from Brisbane and Sarah.
Correct. Rashi says it's good. Do I need to connect all the dots yet, or you're okay, so why is that interesting? Should we all say that again? So that you may have missed something over here? What's the 430 years? By the way, it's not just Rashi. It's Rashi, and it's the Rashbam, and it's Ibn Ezra, and it's a whole bunch of Midrashim. They all say this. All what we call the Pashtunim, they all say this. What? The only thing is, they all say it in Shmot, so nobody remembers it in Bereshit. Even I think the Rashbam says in Bereshit as well. So I'll say it again just in case you missed it. It says, how do you count the 400 years? You count the 400 years from Yitzchak. Why do you count the 400 years from Yitzchak? Why do you count the 400 years? Because it says, Ger Yezarecha be'eretz lo lahem. Did Yitzchak have the deed to the land of Israel at that point? Did he own it? Or was he a stranger in a land which wasn't his? Right? So Yitzchak is a... So therefore... The 400 years starts with the birth of Yitzchak. That's now you can say is pshat in the. I'm saying Rashi says, the Rashbam says, the Ibn Ezra says that's pshat in the pasuk when God promises the land of Israel. Again, we'll look at it again. Ger Yezarecha be'eretz lo lahem, and it continues and it says, just one second. Yeah, it says, "Bayomahu karat Hashem et Avram brit lemor lizaracha natati et haaretz hazot." Oh, I should continue this pasuk. This is very interesting. "Bayomahu karat Hashem et Avram brit lemor L'zar'acha natati et ha'aretz hazot minahar mitzrayim ad nahar hagadol nahar prat. Okay, now, anybody realize why this is interesting? Let's go back now to the missing pieces of information and what we're all confused about, and I think things may start to look very, very different. Let's now put all this together, because I think this is potentially interesting. First of all, according to Rashi, the Brit Bein HaBetarim takes place when? Again, the 400 years starts when Yitzchak is born. How old is Avram when Yitzchak is born? We all know the answer. How old is he? He was 100, right? 90, right? He was 99 when he was commanded by Brit Milah. Next year you're going to have a child, end of Lech Lecha. Right. 100 years old when Yitzchak is born. But 30 years before is when the Brit Bein HaBetarim took place according to Rashi, which means that the Brit Bein HaBetarim took place when he was 70 years old. Now, but what's the problem? What does he say? L'zarecha teina ta'aretz hazot. So which aretz are we talking about? But it just gave us the boundaries. What are the boundaries? What did it say? Minahar Mitzrayim ad Nahar Prat. What's Nahar Prat? The Euphrates. Okay, don't tell the BBC about this. It's going to make a lot of trouble. Do you know where the Euphrates is? People think when we say Eretz, they get upset about the quote-unquote West Bank. And then they get upset, you know, when somebody says two sides of the Jordan, Eretz Yisrael Shlema. They don't know that we're talking about from middle of Iran, Iraq up there, going all the way down to where? Now, if Avram was told it's Til Nahar Mitzrayim, remember what we were missing before? Why going down to Egypt would be considered a sin? But he was given, but if this is before, he was given the boundaries before. And therefore, by keep on going south, he ended up leaving Eretz Yisrael at that point. So this helped us here as well. I'll read to you the Makor for all this. The Makor is in a midrash which is called Seder Olam Rabbah. This is what Rashi is working off of. Starts with Noach. Nimtza Noach haya achara pilaga eser shanim. Like I told you, he lived 10 years after the tower, or the dispersal, if you will. Avinu Avraham haya b'pilaga ben arba'im v'shmona shana. So again, everything I've been saying to you was all right here in this Seder Olam. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Okay, we'll skip a little bit over here. Avram Avinu haya b'shoshen edaber imo ben habitarim ben shivim shana. So that totally messed up everything for us. But here you see it black and white. Shenemar, what's the proof? Vayihimi kates shloshim shana v'arbamot shana, and so on, quotes the pasuk in Shmot. La'achesh nedberimo yarad l'choran v'asa sham chamesh shanim. So God speaks to him, and he goes down. Who brings him there? Well, Terach brought him there, but who sent Terach there? God sent Terach there. Okay, good. Shenemar Avraham ben Chamesh Shanim v'Shivim Shana b'Tzeito miCharan. Nimtza min ha'pilaga v'ad sheyetza Avraham Avinu miCharan esrim v'sheva shanim. Hein, listen to this, shteim esrei shana avdu et kadri la'omer v'shlosh esrei shana mardu. U'reba esrei shana b'kadri la'omer oto ha'shana sheyetza Avinu Avraham miCharan hi aita shnat ha'ra'av v'yered l'mitzrayim v'asar shem shlosha chadoshim. In case you never knew how long he was in Egypt, now you know he was there for 3 months. So when he comes back, that's which means we read about the 25 years of war. So what's he saying? That the 25 years of war happened before Avram got there. Avram is only there for the very end of the war after he and Lot separate. It's the very, very end. Then all that takes place. So again, the Seder Olam, that's what it does. It does biblical chronology, so just added in a whole bunch of information that we did not necessarily know otherwise. But what did all this do for us? First of all, I'm going to go back to what I said before. When it says, V'hiacharei d'rima eile, is at the end of the war, which is when Avram is at least 75 years old and maybe 3 months. And then we have this Tardei Ma comes over Avram and he has this vision. there, I don't see how you can explain this without saying, if he's saying he was 7 years old then, I can't read this as one vision. That's why I said before, I have to read this as two separate visions. Because the first one is right after the war, which according to the Seder Olam happened when he's 75. The second part of it, which is telling us, it's not a dream within a dream. It's one vision, then it goes back and tells us about another vision, and that other vision is the Brit Bein Abtarim, which happens beforehand, which means Avram is still living in, you can decide where, in Or HaKasdim, he's still living there when God says to him, I'm going to give you all of this land from over here all the way down until Nahar Mitzrayim. Avraham leaves Ur HaKasdim, ends up going to Haran. He goes with Terach, but he's still with his family. So the idea of the last part, leaving Beit Avicha, obviously is last. And as I said, the only open question that I have, whether that ends when he leaves Terach's tent, or that ends only when him and Lot separate. Because, as I said, why is Lot there? Lot is most certainly a loser. There's no question about that. We'll decide. Maybe next week we'll talk about Lot. I haven't decided. But there's a lot to talk. There's a lot to talk about Lot. But if Lot is not the heir apparent, and Lot goes by himself, Avram doesn't take him till after Lot starts to come, and Lot is there because he's part of Terach's extended family, so it could very well be that this Beit Avicha continues much later than we ever would have imagined that it continues to. The other thing is, when I go back and I say, well, the beginning of Lech Lecha, we're missing two big brachot. Which brachot are we missing? We're missing about children, and we're missing about the land of Israel. Well, if lo and behold, the Brit Bein Abtarim was before Lech Lecha, so then he already knows about the land of Israel, and he already knows about having children, and this is an additional blessing which then gets introduced at that particular point. So I think that you gain that as well. Yeah.
Chronology-wise, it was first that he said from Nahar Mitzrayim on Nahar Efrat, then later on, Brit Bein Abtarim, then after that.
It depends what you mean by the Brit Bein Abtarim, but it's correct. Part of the problem is how you divide the vision in half over there. That's part of the problem. Yeah. According to this, everything's part of the larger Eretz Israel.
So if it's there, why doesn't it go?
So it seems to be that there's something more about Eretz Canaan. Yeah.
If we're going to say this, then why?
If we're going to say, you heard how accusative that was? If we're going to say, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you know, but still, Ein Mukdam Amulchar is something that we utilize, but maybe we just have to assume this as a starting point. Yes, the Torah doesn't necessarily tell us the story in the chronological order. Why does it tell us the way that it does? That's, I think, a very important question. The other thing is that the best story here, the Torah leaves out. Because as I said, we get very close to being saved from the furnace as being pshat. You get very close to that. So why doesn't the Torah tell us that story? So I think that, again, this is what occurs to me. I think that the answer is that there are many people who are willing to die for all kinds of reasons. But anything that happens between God and Avraham before God speaks to Avraham is not included. So the important thing actually is back over here. This is really the important thing when God says, I'm giving you the oldest land, and I'm, right? This is the important thing. Your question is absolutely correct. Why, according to Rashi, why according to this, why not say this is the very first thing? And I accept that 100%. Yeah.
Is there a problem that the Lord's
very sort of
that large, they're
filled
with
that
time
style?
So, Allah
said, love them.
Probably
the single most difficult halachic topic I've ever tried to tackle was trying to figure out the boundaries of the land of Israel. It's like every single time it talks about it, and the Chumash has different kind of boundaries. And then trying to figure out where Menashe lived, trying to figure out exactly where the 2.5 tribes were, trying to figure out why Menashe was there completely. The whole challenge of where the land of Israel is a very big challenge. This seems to be the most maximum description that we ever have. Why? I can only say Lo Asid Lavo. So I don't know. I don't know if you want to get militant and turn to Iran, say, come on, bring it on. We're waiting for you. Yeah.
So the first time we talked about Avraham,
So presumably then, the first time that God speaks, this is as far as we can get. Avram at the age of 48, maybe I'll add something now. Avram at the age of 48 is when the whole story takes place with the being thrown into the furnace. But he doesn't leave there till the age of 70, right? And the age of 70, the big question, okay, you ready? The big question which you haven't answered yet, and each one of you can answer however you want, is when did God say to him, Lech Lecha? Now, it's possible that God said Lech Lecha when he was 48 years old. The only problem with my saying that is, then you would have to say, what? He said Lech Lecha at 48, and it took him till he was 75 till he did it? And then now we just now made Avram look very bad. That may be a reason not to put to confuse the whole order of things. And there's another side to it. What? There's a whole other side to this as well. It could be that when God says to him, Lech Lecha, you say, what are you talking about? They hate him back. Again, if we have this whole story, they hate him back there. Which means this could be taken not as some kind of a tzivoy, but as really good advice. They try to kill you here. Get out of this place. Right? Run. So that also, knowing the whole story about being thrown in the furnace, changes everything. But the one thing that we do know about Avraham is that he tries to impact people around him. That we do see. We see it in terms of the Nefesh HaShoah Sabach Haran. We see it in terms of the visitors that come to intend. We see it at least in terms of the rabbinic interpretation of the Eshel of Avraham, that he built that he builds this place for people to come in. That Avram seems to want to impact people around him, and probably something which would have broken his heart was that the people that are closest to him, the people that he grows up with, the people who are his family, that he's not going to be successful with them. That these people, he's just not going to fail. But apparently God gives him some time. So he has from the age of 48, again, till the age of 70, he's trying, he's doing, and finally God says, okay, no, this isn't working. It's time to move on to someplace else. But this is what gets interesting. He then moves to a new place, and suddenly he has atzlacha. Hanefesh eshesu b'charan. B'charan, he has success. So then, at that point, Avram can think, okay, this is it. I've made it. I don't have to go any further. But God says, no. Now you have to move on. You've done as much as you can do over here. Now you have to separate. Because for you to become Avram Avinu, you're going to have to do more. And now you have to move on and separate. So as I said, there could be a possible negativity once we put everything together when you come to this realization. You know, when I asked you the question initially, what was the question I asked? How old was Avram when God said to him, Lech Lecha? So what was the first answer? We're 75 years old. So that we like it like that. God says go, he goes. But what if we now come to this realization that may not have happened exactly like that? There may have been a really long delay over here till Avram actually does it. Now, we can understand the delay, we can understand the stages involved in it, and we also understand why Beit Avicha is the very last thing that he moves, especially when you now realize that, again, Terach, who used to make idols, is now on his way to the land of Canaan. So what's Avram's dream? My father is being Chozer B'tshuva. My father's going to start keeping Shabbos soon. It's going to happen. And then God says, no, you got to go. You got to leave him. That's the test. See, I think that's much more of the test. For him to be somebody, you're going to be an Av Hamon Goyim, but your own family, forget about. Again, realize that irony. You're going to be an Av Hamon Goyim. Oh, Yishmael, well, forget about him. Right, Lot, well, forget about him. Terach, well, forget about him. I'm saying, yeah. All these people, forget about him. Which means, just think about the opposite message over here. Especially, I'm going to say it again. Especially if Avram sees, hold it, Terach left this place. He's no longer going to be influenced by the idolaters. More than that, Terach is on the way to Eretz Canaan. But unfortunately, Terach is somebody who only starts but can't complete it. He starts appreciating where things come from, but he can't take it to its logical conclusion. He starts going to land Canaan, but he can't finish the mission. Which also now gives us a lot more respect for Terach, because now you have to come to this realization. That had there never been a Terach, there never would have been an Avraham. And I don't mean that just in a biological level. That Terach ends up teaching, inspiring Avraham much more than we ever would have considered, but still God says, okay, we've played out this hand as much as we can, this is all there is, it's not going to go on further, now go on. And for that, for Avraham, that must have been something which was very, very painful, and then he moves on, because this is what God said to do. And therefore, again, I'm going to say, the Beit Avicha is the last thing. Lot starts to come with him, so then what maybe Lot really is with me, until, of course, he comes to the realization that, in fact, Lot is, should we say it again? That Lot is a loser, and therefore it's not going
to
happen.
Why did he come to save him, though?
He comes to save him because, once again, Avram is the greatest person of his age, and willing to put himself in danger in order to save Lot, even though Lot is a loser. And as I said, there's much more to talk about that, and maybe we'll talk more about Lot next week.